Well, good morning to you. Let me introduce myself. My name is Michael Coy. I was pastor here in the years 1990, well, that's a previous millennium, 1991 till 2007. And I was thinking of the pastors that are hung in the council room. Perhaps you know that Pastor Bob Hallward passed away this past spring. And I don't know, I might be the only surviving former pastor of this church. I'd kind of like to keep it that way for a while. At least that's my plan. But it's great to be here, good to see you all, and to worship with you and to share God's word. I'm looking, John, at this cup of water. That's for me. Good. Wanted to make sure. Trudy and I are here for Joe Strong, Joe and Ellie Strong. Joe's celebrating a birthday. I've talked about retirement, but, you know, that's not going to happen. But currently, I myself am transitioning towards retirement. I'm going to retire officially from church on January 20. But I've been transitioning for the past 3 years. I've been working at a place called Victorian Village. And Dave Tiemersma, I don't know if any of you know Dave Tiemersma, Clarence does. Was my first boss when I worked there, and his family's from around here, and so I've been transitioning that way. There's a half-time pastor that works with me at our church, so between the two of us, we make up a position, and I've been teaching at Trinity Christian College in the philosophy department, also since 2015, and those are a couple things I'd like to continue after January, but anyways. I'm here to talk about listening to God and listening for God's voice. Now, we'll be honest with you. Some of my favorite breakfast dishes are hash brown potatoes. Those are potatoes that have been cooked once. You chop them up, you cook them again. And this sermon is a dish of hash brown potatoes. We've been preaching on faith practices in our church in Oak Lawn, Illinois, where I live. And faith practices are repeated actions that we do in order to grow in our faith, in order to connect with the Holy Spirit, in order to help us become more like Jesus. We need good habits to become more like Jesus, to open up our heart to God. And, well, we need times and ways to practice and engage our heart, our mind, our hands to connect with God in ways that continue to enable us to grow. And that's what we've been looking at in our congregation. But this particular faith practice is the practice of listening for God's voice. If we want to be like Jesus, who gave his life for us, of course, in service, who not only taught the truth of God's kingdom, but also withdrew regularly. He went from the crowds to a quiet place to meet with his Father, to listen to the scripture, to ask questions, as we know from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, ask questions of his Father, follow God's leading in his life. In the same way, we want to follow kind of healthy practices. And listening to God is one of those. So as you begin the Sunday school season, I thought this was appropriate to think about. Recognizing, listening for God's voice. The goal of spending time together in Sunday school. The goal of the church education year, reading the Bible stories, learning these Bible themes, looking at the reflection that the church has had over the years through the confessions, is a practice of learning to listen to God's voice so that you might do it. Well, earlier we had this verse in the responsive reading where Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me." When we used to live across the street here, we had a cat. Wasn't really my best friend. This cat was very loyal to us, though, as a family. I think we should have put on the door a sign that says, "Beware of the cat." As we've had people come over, like my brother-in-law, who's 6'3", he could be a linebacker, maybe even a lineman for the Seattle Seahawks, and And he's just a big guy. And this, he opened the door, and the cat, whew, he ran out the door. But when we came there, we'd call the cat, come right to us. The cat knew our voice. When we called him, he came to us. Now, that's how it is with us. Well, that's how Jesus says it should be. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Well, how do we hear the voice of Jesus? Well, we hear the voice of Jesus primarily in the Bible. You know, you hear of him touching people with diseases and he heals them. You hear of him wrapping his arms around those who are weighed down by their sins and he forgives them. At his dinner table, you read about how they included people who were the outcasts of society and he welcomes them into the kingdom of God. He spoke and he speaks in God's word. When we hear him in faith, we're glad and we're ready to follow him. My sheep hear my voice. I call them and they follow me. Giselle was a vibrant woman who loved life. She loved the people in her life. She was slow to complain. She never said anything bad against anyone. But later in her life, she had cancer. And the treatments just sapped her strength and her vibrancy. And there were days of fatigue from that disease and from the treatments where she would lay in her bed just feeling miserable. And her husband would come to her and he'd read from the Bible. He'd read a verse like Romans chapter 8 and say, you know, there's nothing, not even cancer, that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And tears would come to her eyes. She would even turn her head to the wall and weep. She heard the voice of the shepherd. She heard it through the Bible. That's how we hear the voice of the shepherd, through the Bible. So spending time with the Bible helps us learn to recognize his voice. So that's what you're doing in Sunday school. Spending time to recognize God's voice. We also hear the voice of God in the world around us. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, the Strongs live south of town, out in the country, out in open field. We opened our window this morning, looked out. It was just beautiful, the sun shining over the hills, the mist laying on the base of the hills. Wonderful. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they're pouring forth speech. The heavens have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth and their words fill the world. The universe itself is chanting to you about God. The universe itself is talking in elegant lyrics about the glory of our Lord. It's reminding you over and over that he is there, that he is almighty, that he is directing everything. He speaks to you from the twinkling stars that shine up in the depths of the universe. Or he speaks to you in the fish flashing in the sun as you haul them in when you're fishing from the river. And when your ears are tuned to listen for the voice of God, you hear the music of the spheres in this my Father's world. When you're filled with the Scripture's teaching, then you can experience things and see things, knowing that Jesus is the victor over death. And you can sing, though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he's leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. We can hear God's voice in the creation. Now, I'm going to put these two ways together, hearing God's voice through the Bible and hearing God's voice in the creation, and show how that can lead us to some discernment. When, for example, you look at how God's given you gifts, and you look at the passions that you have, and people may have drawn attention to the passions or interests that you have, and you might have this early experience of life that somehow is awakening a need inside of your heart, you know, and you feel as drawn to a particular thing that you want to do. You're discerning how God's leading you in your life. I feel called to teach, to work with computers. I feel called to run a business. I'm discerning from the way that God's designed this creation, the way he's designed me, what I know from the Bible, and I see his hand, I see his hear his voice. That leads to discernment. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can discern what the will of God is. That good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Renewing our mind enables us to discern. Our mind is renewed as the scriptures inform it, as it kind of shapes the way we look at life in this world and discern from the patterns and the regularities of God's actions how he's leading us. And that can happen for me as an individual. That can happen for us as a church. Pastor John was telling me, and I made sure that I looked in the bulletin to make sure that this was public. He's not sharing any secrets with me, that you folks are entering into a time of discernment about future ministry opportunities. Maybe possible staffing changes. You know, there's a letter sent to the congregation, from what I understand. You're looking for God's leading. You're listening for God's voice. You want to hear it in his word. You want to hear it in the circumstances of life. You want to hear it as he's working in other people. How's he leading you forward here? In our congregation, as COVID restrictions were lessening and we began to consider what we would do again in ministry, our council met to discern what's going to happen as we move forward. My retirement brings a big change in the life of our particular congregation. And the pastor who I work with is on a term call. And that call is also ending the same day as my retirement. Now, what are we going to do next? We've asked everybody to pray. Can we discern how God's leading us? We look at the Bible. We listen to God's voice. We look at the circumstances of life. We look at the world. I'm sure it's happened to you, that you just knew it, that it came to you. Like maybe you were reading the Bible or you were listening to a sermon and all of a sudden everything seems just to fit. Something makes sense to you. Or you're praying, you're standing on the promises of God, as it were, and this sense of peace floods over you. You heard the master's voice. Or you maybe were doing a service project, maybe helping someone mow their lawn, or maybe you're helping repair a faucet or something. And while you worked, it's like you heard the blessing of God, him strengthening you as you're giving yourself in the service and saying, you know, maybe this is the way God wants me to do more. Well, that sense of peace, the way God's word suddenly seems to fit your life situation, seeing the blessing of God in your life, it's all part of listening for his voice. My sheep hear my voice. So how do we hear it? Through his word, which guides us, shapes our vision, through his creation and the way he governs things, that enables us together to discern his pattern. But undergirding all of that, like a foundation beneath it all, is listening for the Spirit. When we open our hearts to God's Spirit, like Samuel did, God can move in us. God will move in us. Samuel. You know, Samuel's name means the Lord hears. And this story tells us about the one whose name the Lord hears needs to learn how to hear the Lord. He was a young apprentice. He's learning from Eli. He's subject to Eli. In Samuel, the Bible says that the word of the Lord was rare. It really gets at the sense of being highly valued. It didn't happen a lot that they heard the Lord was something of real significance to them. And Samuel, who was obedient, he was a trusting apprentice, did not know the Lord. That is, the word of the Lord hadn't been revealed to him yet. And at that time, the Lord called. Eli is getting older. He had failing eyesight. Maybe he was eligible for cataract surgery, but they just didn't do that back then. And Samuel is in the temple sleeping, and the lamp, which was burning from evening to sunrise, hadn't gone out yet. So it's early in the morning. Samuel gets up three times early in the morning, comes to Eli. He's so obedient to the voice of Eli, and that willing obedience spills over into what he's about to do, to hear God's word, so that when Eli finally figures out what's happening, why do you keep coming to me here? It's only 5 o'clock. Go back to bed. That he could instruct Samuel how to open up his heart, that he could hear the Lord. It had fundamentally to do with an attitude, a posture, you might say, that he took with relationship to the Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the Lord came and stood forth. Did you notice that when the text was read? It's like somehow God was visible to Samuel so that he received both a vision and the word of God, because he said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And that word listen means to hear and to obey. The same word, it's Shema in Hebrew. There you go, Pastor John. You know Shema. You listen in the sense of obey. When our children were small, we asked them to do something like clean up their room, and you come back an hour later, the room is just as messy as it was before, and we say things like, are you listening to me? Did you do what I said? That's what this word means. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I want to be obedient. I want to do what you're telling me to do. So what that means is that when you are connecting with God through scripture, through prayer, when you're learning about him, you want to be in a position to do what's said. When you hear God's word and you're maybe reflecting on a sermon, or when you're reading the Bible at home, or maybe when you're listening to a podcast as you're going for a walk, or there's a religious show on a radio, or there's a cable broadcast, you can listen for God's word and you can ask yourself, what shall I do with this? Is there a promise that I need to hear and take to heart? Is there a comfort here for me that I can savor for a while? Is there a command that I need to obey? Is there a teaching that I can put into practice? So when you come to worship, what I would ask for you is not just to listen for Pastor John's voice, but listen to God's voice. And what does he want you to do? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I'm ready to hear and do what you say. You catch the posture that I'm talking about? How open and willing it is to follow the Lord? Well, I wanted to think about a couple of specific practices by which you and I can listen to God's voice. One thing great about Sunday school is you cut out the time for Sunday school. It's in the schedule. We need time to listen to God's voice. When Jesus' disciples were busy, after a time of ministry, so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat. Jesus says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come and rest to connect with Jesus. Come and rest to hear his voice. A time when we set time apart. And maybe sit in silence for a while. Find some quiet. We have an expression, perhaps you use it sometime, you talk about your quiet time. You use that phrase, your quiet time. And what you mean by your quiet time is the time that you set aside to read the Bible or to pray, just some time alone. Maybe you're going to reflect on something. You need some quiet. And we do need some quiet to let our hearts settle so that we can hear God. I think you run at a compulsive pace like I do. We're all part of the same culture. I mean, we're driven by our own and other people's expectations. And sometimes those expectations drive us to never stop. But we need to unplug from all of that, at least for a little while, from time to time, and slow down and be quiet. In our church, we had a time of fasting when we were discerning what God was wanting for us and leading. One of the options that we promoted was to fast for maybe one day a week or maybe a period of time within a day from screens, where you reduce the number of hours that you're going to spend on your phone or on your computer or in front of your television or on your iPad or whatever, texting or emailing or tweeting or whatever you're doing, looking at the screen in front of you. Set it down. Take the time to listen to God. We need quiet. We need to come aside and rest. The second practical thing I'd like to talk about is praying the scriptures. When we pray, we can pray what the Bible says. We can read a Bible passage, notice what stands out to you, maybe, you know, highlight it in some way. Sit quietly, reflect on what it says, and then pray. Let me give you an example. The children of Israel, Lord, said to Moses, "Speak to us and we will hear you. But do not let the Lord speak to us, lest we dry for dread." That's the Bible passage. You can pray that back to God, reminding him, as it were, reminding yourself. And then, "Not so, Lord. Let it not be so for me. I pray to you, I ask humbly with Samuel the prophet, that you would speak to me yourself, and I will gladly hear you. Don't let Moses or any of the other prophets speak to me. You speak to me. You, Lord, the inner inspirer and giver of light to all the prophets." Well, that example comes from Thomas a Kempis on the Imitation of Christ, by the way, from the 1400s. Read and pray the scriptures, and then read again. And ask God to help you do it. Make a plan. And if you take that time to learn to listen to God, a stream of living water will flow into you, Jesus says, that you can rest in the presence of God, and you can reflect on his promises, and you can hear his word, and you can be equipped to do it.